Hour number two on this Tuesday, DVD. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today. Derek Mason, David Janes with you up until 2 o'clock. Good first hour. Had Willie on. Got to talk some Preds. Talk to Tim Hasselbeck. We're going to spend most of the rest of the show on football, starting with the Titans as they prepare for a Week 11 matchup with the Minnesota Vikings. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Will Levis back under center for the first time since week six, I guess, was the game he played against the Colts where he wasn't 100%. And I don't think he looked good on Sunday, but I also don't think he looked bad. He didn't make any catastrophic mistakes, which I think is that's kind of the line for Will Levis on if it was a solid game or a bad game is whether he throws a horrific interception or something like that. So there was nothing like that on Sunday. Did take too many sacks. The question I wanted to ask you, and we'll take some answers from the audience as well, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is what does Will Levis have to do over these final eight games to earn another shot? Because I feel like that's where we are, is that most people are out. That he's probably going to be replaced by either a free agent or a draft pick at the end of the year. But he's going to play eight more games, and you've got to see what you got in him. Is there a scenario in your mind where he could do something to get himself another chance as the starting quarterback in 2025?
Show vast improvement. He has to. And I'm not just saying, listen, go out there and don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
That's no quarterback wants to turn the ball over. So the test can't be, oh, if he's not turning the ball over, then he's that guy. No, that's not the test. The test is, can he win you football games moving forward? Can he be the reason why you win football games? Can he be the reason why you feel optimistic about your future moving forward with him underneath center? Can he galvanize your team? Can he be a leader of men? Can he do that for you? Up until now, I don't think he's shown that. From his play to leadership, whatever encompasses what a starting quarterback needs to be, an elite quarterback needs to be, Will Levis hasn't shown them enough. He's had enough time, I believe. Now, others may say, well, he needs a full year of being underneath center. I get all of that. But I think once you played this game long enough or watched it long enough, you know when you have a player and when you don't have a player. You know, guys, that, okay, I see it in him, but it may take him a little bit longer to get there. But I see it. He has it. You know those guys from the guys that, okay, yeah, he's just not. No matter what happens moving forward, this is what we're going to continue to see. And I think that what you don't want to get into is what we all, at least myself, I'm going to put myself in this. I'm not going to try to add anybody else. But what you don't want to see is fool's gold. You don't want to see a little sprinkle of something and think, okay, he's the guy.
That's what we've been looking for.
Exactly. We saw that last year.
Right.
With the, you know, his first start as an NFL quarterback. He throws four touchdowns, yep, I believe. Then we saw, you know, the comeback against Miami. Then we saw how he played against Pittsburgh and how he sort of willed himself and willed the team. And he came down and he was that close from winning them the game.
Right.
So we saw all of that. At least I saw all of that. And I felt optimistic about what he could do because that's all I saw. I saw the comeback. I saw this. That was fool's. It was fool's gold. He fooled me. I don't want to get fooled with a four-game sample again. I'm not doing that. So the remainder of the games, he has to show consistently. I don't want to see him, you know, throw two or three touchdowns next week, this week coming up, and then another 3 weeks later, throw two touchdowns and no interceptions and have 250 yards. No. That ain't going to fool me. I need more than that. I need consistency across the board, meaning consistency in a way that you are showing everybody that you can win football games. Because that's ultimately what quarterbacking comes down to. Can you win us a game or can you not? If you can't, we need to move on. I don't care how much we may think you are showing promise or how your sort of talent or what we see in you, no matter how much we see in you, if you're not winning us games, we need to move on. So unless you're winning games and being a leader out there and doing the things that you're supposed to do as a quarterback, I don't want these up and down. I don't want the roller coaster, because if you're giving me roller coasters now, you're going to give me roller coasters in the future.
I'm with you. I think after last season, because of the flashes of, hey, there's a glimmer there, there's a sparkle, that could be gold, it ended up being fool's gold. But I think after that season, Will got the benefit of the doubt from a lot of Titans fans of like, hey, we've seen the talent, we've seen the arm strength, we've seen the swagger that he plays with. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt heading into this season. And I think it was more of like, hey, he's going to prove that he's not the guy instead of proving that he is the guy. Then the flailing pick six happened. And I view that as the turning point where it went from, hey, Will's got the benefit of the doubt. We feel good that maybe he could be the guy. Maybe there's some growing pains, but he's going to figure it out. I think after that play in Chicago, even though it was only week one, I think a lot of people went, all right, well, now he's got to show me that he's not that.
Well, because what came out of it was from the head coach, we got this game won. Don't make a mistake.
Right.
Just don't do that. And I think that may have been the Jets game.
Well, yeah, you could read his lips after this.
Don't make a mistake. And what did he go? Because the only thing you had to do was run the football, throw a little dump pass, or take the sack, and we punt the ball away. The Jets' offense is non-existent, so our defense has been dominating. Just don't do anything that is going to cost this game. And then you go out and you do something that costs them the game.
Yep.
That right there showed me he's not the guy. Because if I'm telling you right before the play, if I'm telling you that don't do this, we got this game, just don't mess it up, and then you go out there and do what I told you not to do, how can I then feel faith in you? How then can I have faith in you and trust in you that I can hand over my whole offense to you and say, run it? I can't.
I think you may be right that maybe it wasn't the Bears one, because I think there were probably a lot of fans that were saying it was just one bad play.
No.
He played pretty well the rest of that game, but then when he didn't learn from his mistakes and basically a quarter of football later did the exact same thing the next week, I think that is that's definitely where it went from, all right, it was innocent until proven guilty. Now you've got to prove that you're the guy. Like, you've lost the benefit of the doubt because of the way he played early on in the season. Now, over these last eight games, games like Sunday aren't going to be enough to prove that he's the guy moving forward. Throwing for a little under 200 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Like, if he had done that all year long and was consistently being a guy who could manage games, keep you in games, wasn't making mistakes, I think maybe that you could have been like, all right, maybe this guy deserves another year. But because what he did early in the season, being average isn't going to move the needle for anybody at this point, and that needle is not moving in Will Levis's direction throughout his second year in the league.
No, it's not. And frankly, he had the highest QBR last game that he has had all season. Season has been in the 30s and below. He has one that's 65.3% or 127.4%. But that's what I asked Tim. Like, yeah, you look at his quarterback, his QBR and his rating, and it's pretty high. But then you look at it and say, did he play winning football? Like, did he do the things that you needed him to do to play winning football? Yes, he threw two touchdowns, but it was almost as if, to me, the Chargers never really, with the exception of the potential fumble return for a touchdown, even though that game seemed to be close somewhat, it never seemed like the Chargers were out, like they were out of control. Like, they didn't have that game. It always felt as if the Chargers had that game and the Titans were chasing. Even when they went up early, it just still felt like the Titans were chasing the game rather than making the Chargers chase them. So regardless of what he did in regards to the numbers, he still, to me, didn't play winning football. I know the numbers look good, and I know you can go and watch the film and look at some things he did that were pretty good, but he also did some things that I'm not sure can be coached out of him. I'm just not. And if I believe that, I'm sure there are a lot of other people that believe, listen, you didn't throw that football. I don't think you will ever throw that football in certain situations.
There were too many times on Sunday where the offense just felt like it was dormant.
Yeah.
Like, they scored on three drives. Mm-hmm. And I thought on those three drives, Will Levis looked pretty good. The touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley, the opening drive of the third quarter, it stalled in the red zone. Mm-hmm. But he moved the team down the field, made a couple of nice throws, set up a field goal to get them within three. And then the garbage time touchdown, that was a great throw to Calvin Ridley in the corner of the end zone. But outside of those three drives, I would love to look and see how many first downs the Titans had outside of those three drives, because it felt like it was either they went on a scoring drive or they punted.
Yeah, what I'm starting to realize is that because it happened to him, his first game of his NFL career, he can excel when he knows what the defense is, just like any other quarterback. If he knows you're playing man-to-man across the board, he can excel. He will excel as a quarterback. Why? Because he has a big arm. And typically, he's going to throw the deep ball. Whether it was Atlanta, every time he threw a deep ball, it was versus man-to-man coverage and good throw and good play by the receiver. Whether it's, you know, the game in Miami where he came back, they started to play some man-to-man. Obviously, in this game, the two touchdowns, that were they were man-to-man coverage.
Right.
If you force, to me, here's a true measure, one of the measurements of a quarterback. Because a lot of teams like to do this, especially versus young quarterbacks. Force him to make a mistake. Play zone. Give him some looks up front. Play zone behind it. Force him to methodically move down the field. If you can't do that, that's how we're going to win. But we're not just going to line up man-to-man across the board. I think any NFL quarterback, if you play man-to-man across the board, they're going to look good. Any NFL quarterback that can throw the football, they're going to look good. It's the ones that can figure out how to move the ball down the field when they're playing these exotic zone defenses, when things are looking a little murky. And I'll go back to what Brian Callahan said to him at the beginning of the year during training camp. And Will Levis repeated this. Don't get bored with the boring stuff. He needs to take those words personal. Don't get bored with the boring stuff. Sometimes I think he feels he has to throw the ball down the field. Or now he's to a point where he don't even want to throw it unless it's man-to-man. So until he proves that he can beat a defense when he has to methodically move it down the field, I'm not sure if this is your guy. Because, again, I think any quarterback worth their salt in this game, if you show them man-to-man, they're going to beat you each and every time. Because it's 50-50 after that. I just throw it up to my guy. But when they're playing zone, when they're disguising things, now can you move the ball down the field? And it just seems like Will Levis doesn't do that consistently.
I think that's the perfect way to put it, is that he needs to be able to be a consistent guy who, hey, he can get you 40 to 50 yards on every drive. Not every drive, but like consistently, he can have the offense moving and putting pressure on the defense. Look at Patrick Mahomes this year. Has Patrick Mahomes made, like, have we seen a ton of flashy plays that are all over SportsCenter with Patrick Mahomes this year? There's no behind-the-back passes or left-handed passes or no-look passes that we've gotten accustomed to seeing from Patrick Mahomes, but they're 9-0. He is doing the boring stuff and not getting bored with it and putting his team in positions where, in the fourth quarter, he can make the plays that the Chiefs need to win a football game. Maybe they got a little lucky with the blocked field goal on Sunday, but not saying Will Levis needs to be Patrick Mahomes, but Will Levis needs to be the kind of quarterback where he can be the superstar when you need him to be. He can be Josh Allen, but also go be Brock Purdy when you need him to be Brock Purdy. Be the guy who's just going to, hey, this is what's schemed up for me. I'm going to hit my man for 7 yards here on second and three, and we're going to move the sticks.
But Will Levis, I believe it's either all or nothing with him. Either you're going to allow him to just wing it and throw the football and sort of hold your breath and you know, say, I hope he doesn't throw an interception or turn the ball over. Or you're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to be giving him a chance to throw interceptions.
Yeah.
I'm going to play sort of this slow pace, you know, dink and duck type of football. But even with dink and duck type of football, he still has proven that when he sees an open guy, he doesn't want to throw it. Open in this league, and I know he understands this, but sometimes young guys, it's just like, yeah, I know you understand it, but do you really understand it when you see it? He has to understand a half a step is open in this league.
Yeah.
A full step is just about a blown coverage. If I'm a full step ahead of you, something's wrong.
Right.
This
isn't college where you'll have guys throwing the ball up and there's no one within 20 yards of a receiver. That doesn't happen in the NFL except for rare occasions where somebody completely misses an assignment.
Exactly. And in college, situations like that, you can kind of work your way out of a slump because, you know, you don't have this tight coverage. Only thing I got to do is spread the ball out and just find an open, because there's going to be an open area. So now I can get into a rhythm if I continue to do that. That's not the NFL. You're not going to just find a open area to work your way back into rhythm. No, your open area is a half a step. That's what it is. And I think Will Levis is so paralyzed. And I think TD said this yesterday, and it's been said before, paralysis by analysis. You're thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
Or you're thinking about what has happened. You don't want to make that throw that's a clear throw. Yeah, it may not be completely open, but you're anticipating things as a quarterback and you want to get the ball there. I think he's to a point now where he doesn't want to throw it and now are you able to coach him out of that? I'm not sure you can.
We saw that with Marcus at the end of his tenure here too. His last full start as a quarterback was when the Ravens sacked him 9 times. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, was the offensive line good? Not great at that point. I think Taylor Lewan, that was his first game back from suspension that year. But still, he was frozen back there and couldn't make a decision. And I think we've seen that a little bit from Will Levis as well. He is going to play the final 8 games as long as he's healthy, though.
Yes.
And is there a scenario out there where he sets the world on fire? I think it's out there. Likely, probably not. And most of the texters on our text line are saying Levis needs to go, period. When we come back, we're going to talk about, all right, if Levis moves on, who's your quarterback next year, whether that's through the draft or free agency. We'll get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today. DVD here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
All I'm asking, baby, please, 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 don't prove I'm right.
David James with the perfect song for this segment. I really hope Will Levis doesn't prove everyone right the rest of the way, but that's kind
Please.
Yes. It's trending in that direction. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan, DVD here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We're talking about Will Levis in this Titans quarterback situation. He's going to play out the remainder of this season. Still about half a season to go for Will Levis, so plenty of time. If he wants to prove he's the guy, he's going to get his opportunities. But again, I think almost everybody around the market is kind of looking at it as, hey, he's probably going to be gone after this year, or at least not in line to be the starting quarterback. So, D-Mace, I want to talk to you about who is going to be the quarterback next year if it's not Will Levis. And I think your first look has to be at the draft because the Titans right now are slated to pick 3rd in the draft and could be a little higher, could be a little lower. But there are a couple of guys who are being slated as top 10 picks that – I think there's massive question marks with all of them. We were just talking about Caleb Williams in the break about how he hasn't really panned out, but there is no Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, guys who are surefire number one picks coming out this year. So the Titans, let's start with the draft. If you're picking in the top 5, I think right now the two options getting thrown around are Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Shedeur Sanders, I think the talent is for sure there, but you don't even know if Deion's going to let him come play for you, first of all. You don't know if he's going to pull a Manning and get him sent somewhere else. And then obviously there's some of the maturity questions of, you know, he threw the pick six against Nebraska earlier this year and pretty much threw his offensive line and his receivers under the bus. It's not a good look if you're going to be an NFL starting quarterback. And then Cam Ward, he hasn't really been one of those guys who's been talked about as a top-level NFL quarterback until this year. And even at Miami, there's been some struggles. This week, they lost to Georgia Tech. I don't know if there's a surefire guy there. Thoughts, Derek, on maybe taking a guy who could end up being more of a project, and you're kind of in the same spot you were heading into this year with Levis, a guy who's not a surefire franchise quarterback coming out?
Well, I mean, whether it's you know, Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, or I'm sure there will be other quarterbacks. I'm sure Carson Beck has done himself no help by the way he has played. He was once considered a top, you know, 10, 15 pick. Yeah. Now, the way he's playing, he may not even be a first-round pick the way Carson Beck is playing.
I mean, he entered the year as kind of consensus quarterback one. Mm-hmm. Like, I think everybody was kind of saying, if you want a quarterback, Carson Beck's kind of the guy this year. I don't know if I'd touch him on day two at this point.
Day two, possibly, but the way he's played, he's definitely not a day one. Quinn Ewers, he's been often injured.
Right. He's probably a day two guy.
Exactly. He's a day two guy. What other quarterbacks could potentially? Jalen Milroe. I mean, I see a lot there in Jalen Milroe.
He's the wild card.
Is he? Yeah, he's sort of, to me, he has a little bit of the Bo Nix sort of deal where
somebody's going to fall in love with him.
Yeah, you got someone's going to fall in love with the talent, like Bo Nix. Denver fell in love with the talent.
Yeah.
Now, he's proving them right this season. He's won some games for him. He's played pretty well, but then he's also played like a rookie. But I think they believe under Sean Payton, they have their quarterback of the future. So, man, if it was me, if I'm drafting a quarterback, to me, the guy that has been through just about everything, I'm taking Shedeur Sanders. I'm putting aside the potential of Deion Sanders saying, you know, just like the Mannings, like Elway, you know, you can go probably a few other quarterbacks or players. Period. He may say, well, there are certain, you know, franchises I would like for my son not to go to, because I've seen the development of quarterbacks of that franchise, and it hasn't been good. Well, if that is indeed the case, the Tennessee Titans fall right in line with, I've seen organizations try to develop a quarterback, and it hadn't worked out. I'm not counting Ryan Tannehill, because Ryan was already developed as a quarterback when he came here. I'm not counting Mason Rudolph, because Mason is who he is prior to him coming to Nashville. I'm talking about the Lockers,
Vince Young,
the Youngs, Mariotas. Guys like that you have drafted, whether you draft them in the first round, second round, or you draft them in the fifth round.
Yeah, you could even throw Zach Mettenberger in there.
You can throw all these quarterbacks that they haven't been able to, for whatever reason, develop. There's been one quarterback that has developed in this organization that has done some good things, and everybody knows who that is. That's Steve McNair.
Right.
Every other quarterback that have come here that they've drafted, they haven't been able to develop him to get him to a second contract. Just think about that. No quarterback outside of Steve McNair that they've drafted has seen a second contract.
Nope.
That's saying a lot about a franchise that I can't even get my quarterback to a second contract, like a mega big contract. There's only been one, Steve McNair. So if I'm Deion Sanders, yeah, I would probably say, but you can't look at that and say, well, I'm not drafting that guy. Because when it comes down to it, it's a privilege to be in this league. And if the Titans get the number one pick and you're picking me, I'm gonna be the one to change this franchise. I think more of my ability to go in and change the franchise than the franchise messing me up. That's the way I think Shedeur Sanders, they have to think about this. If the Titans do indeed get the number one pick, which they are trending toward, then I would be the guy that says, no. I'm changing this franchise. I'm not going to be the guy they mess up. I'm going to be the guy that changes the franchise. And frankly, Shedeur Sanders can't do it. He has every intangible that you look for in a quarterback. He's been through it all. He's played behind an awful line and still been able to be productive. He knows how to read defenses. He has NFL coaches, like coaches that just came from the NFL, on his coaching staff. So they're priming him and they're getting him ready to be an NFL quarterback.
I'm not out on Shedeur. And I think if somebody said today, hey, Titans get the number one pick and they take Shedeur Sanders, I think I would be optimistic about how that would work out. Because if the talent is there, you can coach up the maturity and all, and being a leader and, you know, not throwing teammates under the bus, not making the stadium play your song instead of the fight song after your touchdowns and stuff like that. Like, I think you can coach that out of him, and as he grows up, he can grow into being more of a leader. But you can't teach the talent that he has. And I think he is the most talented quarterback in this draft class. And if the Titans go through the interview process and all of that, and they believe that they can mold Shedeur Sanders into a franchise quarterback, I think if you're picking number one, you kind of have to do it, right?
Yeah, but it's not a have to as if Shedeur Sanders is just like, man, he's really the only quarterback in the draft, but he has a lot of holes, but we need a quarterback, so we got to draft him. No, I think like the immature things that he has done, like, you know, for instance, throwing guys under the bus, I think he's learned from that.
Yeah.
I think he will not do that. I think that was a part of the maturity growing up, being frustrated and then realizing after he said it, like, man, I shouldn't have said that. And then the music thing, they're not going to do that in the NFL. They're not going to play a theme song touchdown just for you. Now, they may play something coming out of the tunnel just for you when you're talking introductions.
Perfect.
They I've seen teams do that. They did it for Ray Lewis. They did it for Terrell Suggs.
Yeah.
They do certain things for individual players when they're coming out. They did it for me when I was coming out in Baltimore. It's just little things that they do so the fans know that it's you that's coming out. But they're not going to just change everything and play a song for you every time you throw a touchdown. Well, somebody caught the touchdown,
yeah.
So should they play his song too? So stuff like that, I think you can do at the college level, especially at a place like Colorado, because Colorado's been at the bottom for decades. And then all of a sudden now with Deion, he's bringing.
Yeah, it's all about you.
Exactly. Yeah. Now he's bringing. Now what comes along with Deion, what comes along with your university getting more popular, it's because of Deion Sanders. So you got to take what comes with Deion Sanders if you want your – and he has that university in a prime position right now. But that doesn't take away, at least for me, that doesn't take away who I believe Shedeur Sanders can be in this league. Again, he's already been through the fire. He has. He's played behind an offensive line that, frankly, was trash the last 2 years. They've gotten a little bit better this year. But he's been hit. He's been thrown down. And the one thing he does that not many quarterbacks do, he gets back up, get back in the huddle, and stands in the pocket yet again. That's what people don't understand. Like, this dude, even though he knows the rush is coming at him, and he knows more than likely he's going to get hit right in the chin, he still stares down the tackler and throws the ball. Not many quarterbacks can do that consistently over and over and over. But that's just the makeup of who he is. Listen, you may not like his dad for some of the things he said, but his dad was a dog. And he has his dad's makeup in him.
He knows what it takes to
exactly
be a star.
So my thing is, he would be a prime candidate for me, at least. If I'm drafting number one or number two, I would be looking at Shedeur Sanders as my franchise quarterback, because why? He's been through just about everything a quarterback can go through at a college level. He's been through it. And that's what they're going to have to go through in the pros. You may not have a great line. You know, you may not have these things that you need as a quarterback, but you make do with what you got. And Shedeur Sanders, at the college level, he's been able to make do with what he has, and I'm sure he can do it at the NFL level.
And I think it's going to come down to whoever is making that decision. They're going to know much more about Shedeur Sanders on the field and off the field, and they'll be able to make that decision. But like you said, they shouldn't be in this situation where it's like, well, I guess there's no one better.
Exactly.
Like, we'll take him. That's the worst position you can be in with a quarterback, whether it's one you already have or one you're taking, is, I guess, he's the best option. I guess we can't get any better, and that's where you want to avoid being. And that's kind of where the Titans might be at the end of the year with Will Levis, is if he continues to just kind of be average like he was on Sunday the rest of the way, you don't want to get into the position where you're like, well, can we find somebody better, or should we just let him do it again? And I really hope the Titans, if they're in that spot, just be like, let's move on.
Well, I do think they – two things. I do believe they need to go get another backup quarterback. Listen, I think Mason Rudolph, it's okay. But he's still not giving you that thing that you need in order to win football games. He's one of those things where, okay, it's like we can put him in because we know he ain't going to make that mistake, or he's not going to make that mistake that the starting quarterback is. But is he going to win us the game? I don't want a backup quarterback like that. I want a backup quarterback that I can put in. And I'm thinking, like, my offense doesn't take a step back.
He's got a chance to go out and win the game.
Exactly. Like I know he's going to do the things that make sure he wins the game. You know, and I'm not sure that Mason Rudolph would be that guy moving forward for the next iteration of a Tennessee Titans team, which would be next year, because this team this year will not look like the team they put on the field next year. So to me, not only do you got to get a starting quarterback, you got to get a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Mason Rudolph, he is like in a TV show or a movie about a wide receiver, he's the extra who plays the quarterback. Like, he's just out there. Like, he brings nothing special, good or bad, to the team. Like, he'll throw an interception. He'll throw a touchdown. He's going to be the most basic quarterback that you can possibly have. Not going to win you the game. You might not get completely embarrassed. Like, he's not going to be Nathan Peterman throwing four touchdowns or four interceptions in one half, but he's also never going to be the reason you go out and win a football game.
Exactly. So they're going to have to. But here is the essential question, because this is a question that has been talked about on every radio station on this station, whether it's the morning show, Big Joe and Chase, our show, or Jared's show. Do you trust, more so on those other shows than our show, do you trust the regime that's in place now to pick your next quarterback? That's the question. And it's not a question, I mean, the fans, I would love to hear it from the fans, but that's a question that Amy has to sort of grapple with. Does she trust this regime that she put in place a year ago, not even a year ago, do she trust them moving forward to build this team? Because frankly, listen, you have about 2 to 3 years to build a team. You do. And if you don't build a team within that 2 to 3 year period, they're looking to start over with someone else that hopefully can pick up where you left off and add more and continue to build. If you can't build a team, a winning team, within 3 years, then not just you, but everybody has to go. Everybody, we're cleaning the house. Head coach, GM, and whoever else, we're cleaning the house. So if you can't do it within 3 years, then yes, we need to start making some changes. So does Titans fans, and more importantly, does Amy believe this is the regime that can put forth, one, drafting her a franchise quarterback, and then two, building up this roster the way it needs to be built? Because Big Joe said something in his show earlier, and he was completely right. Like, you don't build a team. You don't build winning teams through free agency. You build championship teams, winning teams. Let me say better yet, you don't build championship teams through free agency. You can build a winning team temporarily.
Yes.
But championship teams are built through the draft. The Titans have to start hitting on their draft picks moving forward.
3 years of basically empty drafts outside of, I guess you got Roger McCreary and Dylan Radins, who are still
with the team,
who are still starting for you.
Yes.
But everybody else is pretty much a bust. That's going to set back any franchise. Mm-hmm. I think, Amy, I do think there's going to be a conversation at the end of the year about Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, and that regime in the front office, because they did draft Will Levis, and their big moves over the offseason have not worked out the way they hoped they would. I mean, L'Jarius Sneed's been injured. Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley's starting to show signs that maybe he is the guy they hoped he would be, but it hasn't been great. I think there will be a conversation there. I do think Brian Callahan is going to get a chance to draft his quarterback.
He should.
If they move on from Will Levis, you hired an offensive guru coach. I think Brian Callahan should get a chance to pick a quarterback and then see what he can do with them.
And that's why I said they need to be drafting a quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Because if you don't draft a quarterback this year, you may not make it. If you don't draft a quarterback this offseason going into the 2025 season, you may not make the 2026 season.
It's a good point. It's a good point. And yeah, Brian Callahan, if you try and go in there with – and I've mentioned it, an option for the Titans is a bridge quarterback, an Andy Dalton or somebody like that, to just get through 2025 and then try and draft Nico or Arch Manning in 2026. But the guys in that building aren't thinking that way. They're thinking, I need to win in 2025 or else I might not have a job in 2026. Let's quickly go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark has been waiting patiently. Mark, what you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? What's up, D-Mate?
Hey, what's going on, Mark? We ain't played a song for you, did we?
Boy, y'all
in a couple of days, we'll play it for you.
Yeah, I thought it might be late this evening before I could get through this phone call, man. Oh, boy. Hey, but you know, D-Mate, I agree with everything you're saying. But you know, D-Mate, I really didn't hear you say too much about Cam Ward. I like him too, man. I don't know if you've seen him play. Cam's a beast, man. I mean, Shadua, he's that guy. He's been through all of it. I think Cam has too, though, D-Mace. I mean, I think he's a really good quarterback. I think it's a shame that the Titans hadn't had a franchise quarterback, like you said, since the late, great Steve McNair. And that's bad, D-Mace. I mean, that's a long time that you hadn't had a franchise guy or any other. Like you said, Jake Locker and all them guys, they didn't cut it. Mariota didn't cut it. I mean, the list goes on and on. But you're right. They're going to need a franchise guy in this draft this year. I don't know if Rand and them going to make it, man. I mean, they're not talking to anybody. And I think every day that goes by, that's making things worse and worse. Do you think Jake and D-Mace, you think Amy has a gag order on them where they can't – she doesn't want them saying anything to anybody. She don't want – she wants them to stay in-house. I mean, it really makes you wonder what's going on over there at those headquarters. But they got to hit the draft big time this year. As you know, D-Mace, what do they always say? When you draft a first-round guy and he turns out to be a bust, that could set your franchise back for years.
Yeah, depending they've on who that first-round guy is. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And they've had a lot of busts, man. I mean, the jury's still out on Goronsky, man. I mean, they've had a lot of big-time busts, and I hope somebody can come in here and get it right. And y'all right, Callahan does deserve another year, man. You know, he's that guy. You can't blame him that, but blame any of this on him. But Rand and those guys, I don't know. It don't really look good for him, D-Mace. I'm telling you, it doesn't, man. And D-Mace, one more question before I go. Did the performance of Levis Sunday, did that do anything for you? Because it really didn't do anything for me, man. I mean, I think what happened to him early this year, this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think he showed who he really is, man. I think that's the guy you're going to see.
Yeah.
If you keep him next year, that's the guy you're going to see. He's not that guy. But, hey, man, you and Jake from State Farm, y'all have a good day.
Thanks for the call,
Thank
Mark.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. I love when Mark calls. Mark. he always have interesting things to say, and I love his outlook on the Titans when he does call. Listen – in regards to his last question, quickly before we go to break, what Will Levis did this past weekend didn't change anything for me. And I think the sentiment is being felt around the city, is especially with the calls that we've gotten or the texts that we've gotten. What he did this week by not turning the ball over didn't do much for people around the city. It didn't change their minds whether they want a new quarterback or not.
I think if he had done that in week one,
yes,
great.
Exactly.
But after what we've seen, that doesn't change anybody's opinions on him. And he'll have to do a lot more than that over the final 8 weeks if he wants to sway the fans' opinion moving into year three. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get to more of your phones coming up next. Continue talking Titans here on DVD. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today on 1025 and 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Enjoy their long-awaited release of their barrel-aged Noel Christmas Ale just in time for the holidays. Get half off a $100 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. DVD here on this Tuesday. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, David Janes with you up until 2 o'clock. Talking Titans here towards the end of hour number two when we head back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chole is on the line wanting to talk Titans. Chole, what you got?
Hey, I think Sand is not going to have a problem because there's a clip on YouTube where he picked three teams that he loves his son to go to, and Titan was number one, Las Vegas Raiders number two, and Miami Dolphins number three. And also, is it okay for owners, NFL owners, to go to college and talk to players? Because I saw Mark Davis went there to talk to Chidori on the sideline. I have a bad network, so I did not watch the game. I just saw the clip. And what the problem is, like 10 play or first quarter, whatever, 15 play, he got it. He looked good. And then after that, he just went to zero. It means that it's like you teaching, try to remember the math in class. And that's what it looked like. I think his learning is so little. He remember and then he don't remember anything. He cannot process. That's why the play, he hold the ball, he try to figure it out, what it was being drawn. And that's my thing. I think we need a quarterback.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Chole. Yeah, he makes some good points.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, I think he was saying, can owners talk to players?
Yes.
And was he saying in college?
Said like Mark Davis was already talking to Shedeur Sanders on the sideline of a game. I think that's okay. There's no tampering rules for college players.
I think if you're on the field of the game, maybe. But I mean, I don't think it's because I mean you're just talking about like them. About their draft prospect, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know the rules when it comes to that.
There's a draft for a reason. Yeah. Like, it's not like you can't change how the draft's going to go just by talking to Shedeur Sanders. Like, it's not like free agency where you could be offering a guy a contract before you're supposed to.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, yeah, if it was during a game, maybe it's like something different.
Right. I don't know.
But I don't know about. Like,
I don't know if that's a violation or not. I'm not. Listen, these NCAA or it's not really even an NCAA anymore. But these rules in college have changed drastically.
Yeah.
Just like the rules in high school have changed drastically about, you know, college coaches and stuff being able to talk to you certain periods. So I don't know what the rule is or if it was a violation or not in regards to owners being able to talk to college athletes on the sideline. But one thing Chole did mention that I think is spot on. Any NFL, every team has a script that they go by the first 15 plays.
Yeah.
Now, they may get outside of that script depending on down and distance, but they have, the first 15 we call them. And we work on those for first 15. And Saturday night, before we end all our meetings, we work on our first 15. We'll go into an open room, a meeting room, big meeting room, and we'll just go over our first 15 plays to make sure everybody knows exactly what they're doing and if they get a certain defense, what you need to do. So those plays are scripted for you, and typically you work well because you know more than likely what's coming because you know their tendencies. But outside of that 15 plays, I think that's where things start to sort of turn for the worse with the Titans. It's almost like they got to have – it's, and I know you can't do it, but it's almost like they had to have the whole game scripted. Like, at least the second half.
We've got
the whole
80 plays ready to roll.
This is what we're going to run, and we will only deviate from it if it's like third and 15.
Right.
Or third and 9 or 10. But it seems like they need to have a script for the whole second half of the game because the first drive – they tend to more times than not, they tend to move the football. Now, they don't score every time, but they tend to move the football down the field. And sometimes they come away with a touchdown, field goal, or they may end up having a punt. But then after that, it's like there's no cohesion it seems like there's no rhythm to what they're doing. And maybe a lot of it is the offensive line's not good. You get a penalty here, you get a penalty there, and then all of a sudden it goes from, you know, second and six or second and five to now a penalty, false start, second and 15. We ain't got too many plays for second and 15 or third and 15, or if it's third and five or third and six. That's manageable. All of a sudden, holding. Now it brings us back 10 yards. So maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, they can't seem to get on rhythm. Because when they're going, at times it seems like they're going good. When they're running a football, they're as good as just about every team, any team in the NFL. When they're running the football and staying on rhythm, when they're staying on schedule, the minute they're not one of these teams that can get off schedule.
You look at the last four games; they've started fast in all of them, and then things have fallen apart. And I think you might be right. Maybe it's the script that they're prepared for that first 15, and then once they get off, do you think it's more of a Brian Callahan is having trouble getting into a rhythm when he doesn't have that script? Or is it Will Levis, maybe when he's not fully prepared for what play's coming next, that he can't go out there and execute?
I think it's more so of – I'm not going to – listen, Will has his own set of problems. But I think it's more so of them getting off script. I think it's the penalties and things like that, that puts them behind – you know, the eight ball, or, you know, a sack that puts them behind, you know, behind the chains. And when that happens, you know, they haven't been able to consistently get back on track. Now, a part of that could be because of the quarterback. Again, I see Brian Callahan as wanting to do a lot of things, because you can tell, at least by the first, the first drive, you see that offense, like you see the motions, you see all this other stuff that just about every team is doing, whether you love a McVay offense or Shanahan offense. They're doing that first scripted period, that first 15. They're doing all of this stuff. They're moving tight ends, moving running backs, three by one, doing all this crazy stuff. But then, for whatever reason, he can't, because of the quarterback, I don't think he can call the plays that he really wants to call in fear that the quarterback's going to make a mistake.
Yeah. You can tell looking at the play design and the play calling that Brian Callahan knows what he's doing in terms of how he wants to scheme his offense. But I do think there is an element of he's scared of his quarterback that, hey, if I call this play, I've seen Will make a really boneheaded mistake on this play in practice or in a previous game. I can't call that, even though it's the right play for this moment.
Here's this, and before we go to break, I can recall in a game, and I'm not going to mention the team, but I can recall in a game, I was in a game, and I came back to the sideline. I was like, man, coach, call this. We can beat him. And he looked at me and said, we can't call that play. We can't. And I said, okay. That's what – it happened in the NFL. Where offensive coordinators look and they say, a player can come back and say, coach, I can run this route and I will beat him. I got him. And he'll look at you and say, we can't run that play.
Yep.
Why? Because we can't protect the quarterback. Or we can't run that play. Why? Because I don't think the quarterback can read it right. I think that's what Brian Callahan is with not only Will Levis, but the right side of the offensive line.
It's a good point. This isn't like Madden where you can scroll through all your plays and be like, all right, this is the one. There are some limitations to what you can do, and we've seen that from the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. When we come back, we'll get into some college football with the new rankings reveal coming tonight. Jake Lyman, in for Adam Ving, and DVD here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.